Welcome, we are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Omar Rava, Male Talga Leturei Kechamisha Mitrei La'ara. The value or the advantage of snow to the mountains, Kechamisha Mitrei La'ara, is five times that as the advantage of rain to the ground. Snow on the mountains is very critical for the sustaining of the world. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki L'shelag Yomar, to snow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, Hu Eretz, you should be at the land, v'geshem matar v'geshem mitros uzo, and comparable to geshem matar v'geshem mitros, and that Rashi explains are five descriptions of geshem. Three are explicit, geshem matar v'geshem, two contained in the word mitros, which is in the plural, uzo is its strength. So the snow is five times the strength of the rain that falls on the land. V'omar Rava, and Rava makes another statement, Talga leturei, that snow is beneficial to the mountains, mitra razil ilone, and that heavy rains are beneficial to trees, mitra nicha, lighter rains lepere, are beneficial to peros, to produce, or pila afilu leparditza detuse kala mehanyale, and or pila, which is a lighter rain, is beneficial even to a seed that is beneath, that is underneath the earth, that is implanted in the ground. My urpila, asks the Gemara, where does this word urpila come from? Uru pile, that it comes from a contraction of both the word uru, to awaken, pile, the cracks, meaning through this type of lighter rain, the seeds, the plants are able to make their way through the cracks, or the rain is able to reach the seeds through the cracks in the ground. V'yomar Rava, now we have an additional statement of Rava, Haitzur v'mirabonon. These young Torah scholars, Dami leparditza detusi kala, they are comparable to the seeds that have been planted within the ground. Dekevan de novat, that once they break through, novat, they break entirely through. Says Rashi, what does this refer to? That a young Talmud Chacham, there is a barrier that exists in terms of his own development and ability to become well known and to influence the world around him. Once he pierces that barrier, so then, Kevan de Novat, Novat. Once he's out into the world and people are aware of him and people can access him and people can appreciate him, so then his influence begins to spread exponentially. Just like a plant that its formative stages are under the ground and concealed, once it breaks through, so then it's available and it is accessible to everyone. Other Mefarshim explain that this refers to the fact that at the beginning of the development of a Talmud Chacham, there's a tremendous amount of work that has to be put in. And in order to be able to break the barriers of challenge just of their own self-development is an enormous amount of time and effort and sacrifice. And therefore, it takes time to be able to break through that that barrier. But once an individual does, so then they are able to, again, impact and influence the world and be a presence in the larger world. Other Mefarshim say that this metaphor refers to the fact that the seed that's planted within the ground, of course we know that even though we can't see the seed, we can't access the seed, it still has to be nurtured, it still has to be developed, it still has to be watered and taken care of. So too, as a Talmud Chacham develops, it's very critical that there are influences that are able to nurture and develop them in their overall growth. And once they break through the ground, so then we're able to see the outcome and we're able to see the results of all of that cultivation. Ve'omar Rava, and now another statement of Rava with respect to rabbinic scholars. Ve'omar Rava, Haitzur v'mirabonon, those rabbinic scholars, de Rosach, that become heated, that become worked up, oraisahu. You shouldn't think that's a personality flaw. That is emanating from their immersion in the world of Torah. That's part of the personality that is shaped by being associated to such a large degree with Torah. Dekomar sochale, because Torah arouses a person, fires up a person. Shenemar, halo kol divrai ke'esh ne'um Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that his words are like an esh, they're like a fire. V'omer Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, kol tamen chacham, any tamen chacham she'eno kosha kebarzel, that's not firm like iron, ain't a Talmud Chacham. That's not considered a Talmud Chacham. Shenemar ukepatish yifotzei tzela, and like a hammer, he will break through the stone. Omar le Rebbe Abba le Rebbe Ashi, says Rebbe Abba to Rev Ashi, because Rav Ashi was the one that made that statement. Asod mehasam masnisula. You got this from the pasuk of kipatish yifotzei tzela. Anon mehacham masnisan la. We have a different source. Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, eretz asher avnea barzel. The land which its stones are like, or it's built like barzel, like iron. Al tikrei avneha. Don't read it stones. Ela boneha. Rather builders. And builders refer to talmidei chachamim, refer to Torah. Amar Ravina, says Ravina, afilu hachi, even so that we have described the notion that a Talmud Chacham that becomes fired up, becomes worked up, it is a product of their passion as being associated with Torah, mi boilei le'inish le'melaf nafshei benichusa. A person still has to conduct themselves with a attitude and a disposition of calm. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'hoser ka'as milibecha, that a person has to remove ka'as, remove anger from their heart. We know that ka'as is an incredibly destructive midah. Ka'as has the ability, anger has the ability to allow us to lose total control of what we say, of how we comport ourselves. It's damaging to relationships. It's damaging to our sense of self once we recover from that fit of rage. And ka'as is something that can really lead an individual away from a very intentional life of growth in avodas Hashem. This is a discussion, what exactly this means, that Talmidei Chachamim, because they are relating to Torah constantly, there's some sort of fire, there's some sort of rigidity, or there is some sort of strength or power that is associated with their personality. So Rashi explains that this has to do with the fact that when a person is immersed in Torah, they are so related to the values and the ideals of Torah, sheyesh lo rochav lev mitoch toraso umasim lelibo yoser mishar bnei adam, that it creates a certain passion that is perhaps beyond what is normative for a regular person, and therefore a person should judge them. The chavino ledono lekafschus. Person should judge them lekafschus. So when one sees a Talmud Chacham that is perhaps a little more worked up about something, person should not assume that that is a lack of midos, but rather that is emanating from their constant immersion in Torah. The Maharsha explains that in reality, Torah itself is called like an Eish Ruchani, and that has a impact on a personality. Perhaps what the Gemara and the Rishonim are really getting at here is that we know that constant relating to the study of Torah is a lifestyle that is in constant pursuit of emes, in constant pursuit of truth. And therefore, it becomes very, very challenging to live in a world where things are said and things are done that are contradictory to that world of truth, and to remain passive and to remain meek and unresponsive. And therefore, perhaps since a Talmud Chacham has a much greater connection to this world of truth, since it is something they're immersed in constantly, perhaps they feel a greater conviction to stand up for that truth, and to do so sometimes even in a manner that seems to us to be somewhat strong. And this is what the Gemara then reminds us all of, that even though those convictions themselves are appropriate, because we should be strong about what's right and what's true, nevertheless, in living in the world and trying to influence and inspire people around us, it is important that our personality exude a sense of calmness, because that's ultimately what will win people over. But we shouldn't think it's a fundamental personality flaw. It is simply a inability to live with a surrounding culture that perverts the realities and the truths of Torah and Yahdus. And that sometimes evokes a response that is perhaps strong as it's perceived by those around them, but in reality is simply a product of what their life is and their priority. Now the Gemara discusses the following. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. We have a statement to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rav Yonasan. Shlosha Sha'alu Shaloka Hogain, that there are three who made a request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaloka Hogan, in a way, in a manner that was inappropriate. L'shnayim Yeshivu Kehogan, two of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reciprocated in a way that was beneficial to them, independent of how they asked. La'echad, and for one of them, Heshivu Shelo Kahogan. The response was one that was not necessarily ideal for them. The Elohein, and these are them. Eliezer, Ebed Avraham, Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, Vishol ben Kish, and Shol, the son of Kish, Vyiftach HaGilodi. So Eliezer, Ebed Avraham. What's the story of Eliezer, Ebed Avraham? Dechsev, as it says, V'hoya Anara Asher Omer Elea Atino Kadech. That Eliezer said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's make a code, a test of how I will know that Hashkacha would grant it that this particular individual that I encounter is going to be the destined wife of Yitzchak. And that is that she offers to help with our jugs. So says the Gemara, Yachal afilu chigeres afilu suma. This was not the most appropriate approach because an individual, let's say somebody who themselves lacked full physical functioning or suma or someone who was blind, an individual who may not be exactly who Eliezer was looking for, could have easily satisfied this test, and Eliezer would have simply presumed that that was the individual that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending for Yitzchak. So even though Eliezer formulated this test, and it was done so inappropriately, Heshivu Kahogan, he was responded to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the right way. V'nizdam nalo Rivka, and everything worked out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him Rivka. Shol ben Kish, Shol the son of Kish, in trying to recruit someone to battle Goliath. V'hoya ish asher yachinu yasrenu, amelech osher gadol ezbito yitain lo. So he made a promise that the individual that could help Klal Yisrael defeat this enemy would be the beneficiary of tremendous treasure and also be able to marry his daughter. Yochel afilu even afilu mamzer. Well, what would have happened, asked the Gemara, if the individual who would have stood up in order to accomplish this mission would have turned out to be an Eved or a Mamzer who should not marry Shol's daughter? So he is setting up a test that could result in something catastrophic. Heshivu Kahogan, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to this tefillah appropriately, even his damin lo David, and brought him David. Sometimes when we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if our formulation or the way in which we frame the tefillah is not entirely appropriate to what really theologically should be going on, nevertheless, the sentiments, the passion, the desire, and perhaps even just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's overall plan for the unfolding of world events results in the answer being one that ultimately we are looking for. However, when it came to Yiftach HaGiladi, when it came to Yiftach, Dechsev Aya Yotze Asher Yotza, Midal Sibesi, when Yiftach goes off to war, he makes a condition that when I return, if I return victorious, that the first individual, the first entity to leave my house and greet me, that's the entity that I'm going to offer as a karban. So Yachal Afilu Dover Tamei. So what would have happened if the first animal to leave Yiftach's house would have been a tamei animal? He would not have been able to offer that as a karbon. So this condition was not appropriate. Heshivu shelo kahogan. And it also did not work out in the end. Because nizdam nalo bito, we know tragically what happened. His daughter is the one that walks out of the house. V'hainu dekamar lehu navi li Yisrael. And that is what the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, Hatsari ein b'gilad, that the entity that could solve this situation is not in Gilad, im rofe ein sham. And there is no one to heal what's going on. V'ksiv, and it says, Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo also alibi, that that which I did not command, that which I did not say, and that which did not even arise on my heart, Asher lo tzivisi, zebino shel Misha melech Moav. That refers to Moshe melech, the melech of Moav. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, vayikach as bino habachor, that Moshe, the melech of Moav, who essentially declared that he would take his firstborn son, who was supposed to rule in his place, and offer him as a karban, him himself. So Mesha the Melech of Moab, Shenemar Vayikach Esbeno Abachar, Shemim Loch Tachtu Vayaleu Ola, and offer him as a Orla. as a ola, korban ola, velo dibarti, and I have not spoken. Ze Yiftach, that refers to the daughter of Yiftach, that even though she was the first one to go out, she should not be offered as a korban. Velo also alibo, and it has not even entered my mind, ze Yitzchak ben Avram, that refers to Yitzchak, the son of Avram, who of course we know, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram to be makriv Yitzchak at the Akedah, the intention was always for Avraham ultimately not to sacrifice Yitzchak. This pasuk, asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo olsa alibi, that is a pasuk that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's insistence that even though he does require sacrifice from us as part of our avodas Hashem, never ever is human sacrifice, or in particular here, sacrificing one's children, an appropriate gesture of avodas Hashem. So even though Yiftach was responded to shelo kahogen, and his daughter ultimately came out, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says explicitly in the Torah, Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo olsa alibi. I do not want you to sacrifice a child. I do not want it for Mesha Melech Moav. I do not want it for Yiftach, and I do not want it for Yitzchak ben Avram. So what happens to the daughter? So the Mefarshim say that the daughter had to take upon herself not to have children, so that she would be consecrated, ki'ilu she was a korban, even though obviously she would not be offered as a korban herself.